Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. I'm Sandra Ladd, and I'm the senior minister for First Christian Church Stillwater. We are growing a Christ-centered, compassionate church where all can connect to God's love. And we hope that in this time you experience growth. We pray that this time will help you focus and center on Christ, and that in this time you will sense care and compassion. We pray that this time provide you with a deeper connection to the love of God. Grace and peace be with you. And again, we thank you so much for gifting us with your time.
Good morning. Today I will be reading in the Old Testament. If you have your Bible, turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. I will read verses 4 through 8. In the Pew Bibles, you can find today's passage on page 311. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God.
Good morning. It is good to be here, to be back in the church that helped to raise me. Believe it or not, in 2 days, it will be 35 years since I was ordained to the Christian ministry. And you know what that means? It means that I'm old. And it means that if you remember me, that you're getting old too. But seriously, I am grateful to this church for the support you gave during my growing up years and during my seminary education. I want to thank Sandra for the invitation and for the latitude in picking a scripture outside of the lectionary that you guys normally follow. And now I ask that you would please join me in prayer. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight this day, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Has anyone else, I wonder, been watching rather obsessively the Olympics the way I have? Okay, a few out there. I must admit that I just love watching the athletes' reactions when they do well. Hurdler Devon Allen, a U.S. athlete, won his heat in the 400-meter hurdles race and immediately began doing some dance moves. You know, the kind that where they move kind of like they're a robot. I really can't do that very well. And then he stuck his whole face right in the camera and was grinning from ear to ear. In today's scripture, we meet the prophet Elijah at a point in his life where we would expect that he might be doing a victory dance. Elijah was a prophet, and in keeping with the Olympics, we might say he was the GOAT of prophets, the greatest of all time. In fact, in Jesus' day, it was widely believed that Elijah would return to either be the Messiah or usher in the Messianic era. Now, we tend to think of prophecy and prophets as having to do all about the future, foretelling the future. But that is not at all what prophets were about. They were God's mouthpiece in the present. They were used by God to speak by word and by action God's message to the people, which no doubt would impact the future. Elijah was given the task of speaking God's displeasure with Israel's idolatry. He was to help Israel to choose rightly, to choose God versus the idols of their time. You see, King Ahab, the king of Israel, had married a non-Israelite who worshipped the gods of her people. Her name was Jezebel, and she worshipped Baal. Her husband, the king, Ahab, also began to worship Baal, and she and Ahab brought the prophets of Baal to Israel and set up many altars dedicated to the worship of Baal and Baal's mate, the goddess Asherah. The people followed the lead of their king and queen and also began worshiping Baal and Asherah. So God sends Elijah, one prophet, to confront Ahab along with the 850 prophets of Baal and Asherah. And Elijah calls upon the people to choose between God and Baal. And he does this by setting up a pretty creative contest between Yahweh and Baal. You can read about it in chapter 18. It is full of all kinds of special effects and pyrotechnics. And in the end, the contest shows Baal to be a lifeless, impotent idol made by human hands, and Yahweh to be the living, dynamic, omnipotent God who is the maker of all human hands. Elijah humiliates the prophets of Baal and makes fun of them quite a bit and then defeats them by the sword. He kills them all. Elijah then invites the people to make their choice and choose Yahweh, the living God who is active in the lives of his people. And if they need, or Baal, and if they need further convincing that Yahweh is God, Elijah announces that God has promised to end the drought that has plagued the land for years. And that brings us to our story today. Elijah is fresh from a dramatic victory. He should be showing off his victory dance. But instead, he is running away in a state of panic. And why? Because when Jezebel hears what Elijah has done to her prophets, she vows by her own life to do the very same thing to Elijah. He who just stood up for Yahweh against 850 adversaries, including a king, now runs in fear of one grief-stricken, vindictive queen. He seems to forget all of what God has just done through him. He forgets the many times that God has protected him in the past, and he runs with his head hung low. He leaves the country and runs to the southern kingdom where Ahab and Jezebel have no jurisdiction. But that isn't far enough away. He runs even further, a day's journey beyond the boundaries of civilization into the barren wilderness. Finally, Elijah stops. But it isn't the feeling of at last being safe that makes him stop running. It is the reality of complete and total utter exhaustion. He who once represented the presence of God now seems to feel the absence of God. He who once led his people now feels all alone with no one to lead. He feels that all the people have deserted Yahweh and his prophet, and he plops right down in the middle of the desert and cries, "It is enough. No more," says Elijah. "I can take no more. There are no reserves left in the tank. Spare me some agony, Lord, and just take my life now." It's hard to know. Is Elijah angry at God or simply grieving? Is he mad at God because he is in danger or because he feels that all of his efforts have been pointless? Maybe Elijah is simply disappointed in himself and feels like he has let God down like so many others. No matter the nuances of Elijah's emotional state, it is clear that he is in despair. I'm thinking there are some here this morning who may have felt that same sense of loneliness or despair. Anyone who works hard in the church and long, or any nonprofit for that matter, will sooner or later probably feel that and perhaps say something like, "Lord, I work so hard. I give my best. I give my all. I sacrifice. But it seems like I'm the only one who cares." Perhaps there are some here today who can relate to Elijah for personal reasons. Maybe you've experienced a shattered dream or hard work that has simply blown up in your face. Maybe you've known rejection or a deep disappointment. Maybe you've known the pain of a broken relationship or the grief of a lost loved one. If you have ever lost a loved one, then you have no doubt at times wanted to run, perhaps like Elijah, run away from the grief and pain, run into the wilderness, whatever it takes to make it go away. And then when you realize you can't outrun it, you plop down and cry, "It is enough. I can't take it anymore." My friends, when we feel that way, our head needs to remind our heart that God is near, closer than we can understand or imagine. We are not alone. God sees our pain, sees our deep down to the bone weariness, and cares. We see that in God's response to Elijah. But I want us to first note what God does not do in responding to Elijah. God does not chastise Elijah for running. God does not complain about Elijah's lack of trust. God does not judge Elijah for his exhaustion. God does not lecture Elijah or try to give him a pep talk. God accepts Elijah, his plopped down right in the middle of the desert prophet. He accepts Elijah with tenderness and sends an angel, a heavenly messenger, to soothe Elijah's exhaustion, to feed his spirit and his belly, to watch over him as he rests, to cook for him, and then to call to him Arise and eat, else the journey will be too much for you. Twice Elijah sleeps, and twice he is ministered to by a heaven-sent concierge. Arise and eat, else the journey will be too much for you. Elijah has given up on himself, but God has not given up on Elijah. Elijah thinks his story is at an end, but God knows it's the beginning of a new chapter. Elijah thinks he's the only one left, but God sees differently. There are others, many others, who have remained faithful. My friends, in these difficult times, when there is so much grief, death, and loss, when cultural and political division has become so caustic, when hatred and violence are on the rise, it is so easy to be overtaken by cynicism, so easy to feel all alone in the struggle for simple civility, fairness, and kindness. In these difficult times, let us not forget to cry out to God and trust that God hears. Now, some might be thinking, well, that is all fine and good, preacher, but I've never been awakened in the middle of the night by an angel and served breakfast in bed, no matter how much I cried to God, no matter how trying the times. And fair enough, I haven't either. But during a difficult time, I have had a friend say, call me anytime, day or night. And I knew they meant it. Maybe you have too, or maybe you've been that friend that said that. When our family went through a very tragic time not too long ago, we had a complete stranger come to our door and offer us homemade breads. She had heard about our loss from one of our friends that she met in the dog park and was moved to offer comfort to a complete stranger, who's a stranger no more. Many people traveled hundreds of miles to be with us. And none of that made the pain go away. But all of it, helped to hold us up and continue on the journey of life one day at a time. Now, these folks were not angels, but their comfort, I believe with all my heart, was heaven sent. I believe that God gives us the gift of being that heavenly messenger to each other. We are called to be a heavenly concierge to our neighbors in need. My friends, if you are weary, I highly recommend that you pour out your heart to God, rest in God's tender, sweet acceptance, and then hear the invitation, arise and eat. Drink in God's love, be filled with Christ's compassion. Arise and eat, and allow God to minister to you. When Elijah did, he received the strength he needed to journey on for 40 days until he came to the mountain of God. Amen.